I hope you listen to the words of that song. He, Jesus Christ, the spotless Lamb of God, gave his life for mine, a filthy, vile, and wretched sinner. That should impact you. Now, here's what we're going to do. You're going to sing that again from the end of the chorus parts. Just figure it out with her, with Mary Kay. Mary Kay's used to me doing this. You're going to sing that again, and then, church, you're going to think about the words. And when he's done singing, you're going to say amen. And if it's not good enough, we're going to do it again. And I'm very serious. Don't be a dead church. Can I say something? Don't be a dead church. You come here to church, you listen to the music, you listen to the words. You let those words get inside you. There is power in a song. The sinless Son of God took my place, a filthy, wretched, vile sinner. He took my place. If you can't say amen to that, you can't say amen to nothing. All right, just give us some of that chorus or something.
He was despised and rejected, stripped of his garments and oppressed. I am loved and accepted, and I wear a robe of righteousness. His life for mine. His life for mine. How could it ever be that he would die? God's Son would die to save a wretch like me. What love divine, he gave his life for mine.
I can preach now because you said it well enough. All right, I want you to take your Bibles and go with me to Matthew chapter number 6. If you're new to the Bible, this will be just about a little bit halfway back, a little more than that. The section we call the New Testament. First book of the New Testament is the book of Matthew. If you get to Revelation, turn left, you went too far. I'm excited to be at this church. I did meet Brother Fielder several years ago, long time known of this church, but never got to preach here or get to be here. So it is my honor to come this morning. Thank you for joining us. Those who are watching by the live stream as well, among whom is my wife who is homesick from church today. And so I'd say hi, Mom, but my mom went to church. My wife stayed home. But nonetheless, thank you for letting me come. Thank you for your hospitality. Enjoyed a time of fellowship last night with Brother Fielder and Pastor and their wives and our brother missionary as well, Brother Longhofer. I'm grateful for each of these things. Matthew chapter 6, I've stalled all that I can. If you haven't found it by now, just fake it. It'll be fine. Matthew chapter 6 is the middle of a sermon. The sermon is given by Jesus. The sermon is called, sometimes called, the Sermon on the Mount. Do you know why it was called the Sermon on the Mount? Because it was a sermon given on top of a mountain. And he's in the middle of this. And he's going to turn to a subject that will be a theme of his ministry. He will go after with absolute intensity the hypocrisy that existed in religion. You say, well, I thought this was a church and you were about religion. We're about a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Religion is man's attempt to interpret God. But when you understand who Jesus is, he's a personal Savior. We just celebrated Easter, which is far more than what society has made it of bunnies and eggs and such. It's different than that. It's everything that our brother sang about just a moment ago. This great exchange that could take place between I could take my sin and exchange it for his righteousness. You say, that's a deal. What does that cost? Nothing. He gave his life for us. And so when man starts to mess around with God, you end up with some of these religions today that add stuff to what God never intended to be added. He intended his message to be salvation. That's deliverance. Rescued. Rescued from hell. He intended deliverance, salvation, rescue to be by grace, something he did, not us. And by grace through faith alone. Nothing else. It's the best deal out there. And when mankind came along and started to make religions and add stuff to it, well, it brought out stuff in Christ, and he started to expose them for all of this religious stuff. But it wasn't really who he was. Matthew 6 gives us three things that really bugged Jesus. The first was he said that he did not want them to be hypocrites when it came to their giving. That's interesting. The idea of the word hypocrite is to be like an actor would wear a mask. And you would put that mask on as an actor and pretend to be someone you weren't. You say, wow, sure is a good thing we don't have hypocrites today in church. You know what I'm talking about. People who show up with church face on Sunday and have a whole other face for Monday. And then they know how to reach the mask when they see someone from pastoral staff and put that on so they know how to act churchy. See, I thought we were supposed to be talking about missions. There should be no conviction here. I'm the new guy. The regular guy, he'll be back next week. But I met him. He's not that regular either. This very thing disturbed Christ. Hypocrisy, three areas. One, when they gave money, they were hypocrites. Second one, when they prayed, they were hypocrites. Third one, when they fasted, they were hypocrites. Well, most of us don't have to worry about the second one or the third one, just the first two. Hypocrites when they gave and hypocrites when they prayed. You say, well, Brother O'Malley, I don't think we have hypocrites in church. Well, all I can say to you is it probably is just your first day here. There are always hypocrites. I hate me when I act hypocritical. So, well, you're a preacher. You shouldn't be. I'm a sinner. So why are you preaching to us if you're a sinner? Because I'm just like you. And the truth is there a better place for a hypocrite to be than church? Because this is the only place I know where they'll ever get help. The Word of God. And so kind of after he shares these three things that bugged him, we get to verse number 19. So Matthew 6, verse 19, he transitions away from the hypocrisy part and now brings down, or if you'll allow me, bears down on a specific area. He says here in verse 19, lay not up for yourselves. Now, lay not up. It's not a basketball term. Some of you will get that on the way home. You say, what did he really mean by that? Don't worry. Some of us can't do layups at all, so don't worry about it. Lay not. So that's something I'm not supposed to do. Lay not up what? For yourself. So this is something I'm doing for me. This is, he's going to use a word, treasure. In just a moment. Lay not up for yourselves treasures. Get in your mind maybe a picture. Now, I have several pictures in my mind, and some of you would have to be very carnal to understand these. You'll get it. So it's this guy, and he's stacking up his coins. I don't know why it makes me think of Scrooge McDuck. Some of you ask your grandchildren later, but he's piling up his money, or the idea of the richy rich approach to it, where you, okay, none of you got that one. I just feel like I started the engine to the struggle bus and all of you are on it. So he's laying out all his money just to say, I got stacks and stacks and stacks of money. And he's saying to them, lay not up for yourselves treasures. Now, he tells us in this verse, treasures upon the earth. Well, it really begs a question. What is a treasure? Well, I could go to the dictionary or I could ask the Google, what is that? A second ago, my iPad thought I summoned Siri and started to speak. I don't know if you heard her, but I could ask Siri and she could say, what is a treasure? But as I understand treasure, it is something for which a man or woman would spend money to get or pay a reward if it were found. And that would indicate a guy treasures this. Now, years ago, this might tell some of your ages, but you can read about these things on the internet. You don't necessarily have to have lived them. Do you remember Beanie Babies? They lied to us. They said, if you get all of them, collect them like a treasure, they'll be worth money in days to come. They lied. How do I know? We got stacks of them at the house. One kid, every grandparent running from McDonald's to McDonald's trying to get the Beanie Baby needed. He said, I don't know what a Beanie Baby is. Ask the Google when you get home, what is a Beanie Baby? It's not a treasure, although we'll spend money on stuff that's not treasures, won't we? And he says, I don't want you to spend money for yourself here on earth just for the purpose of yourself, for your own greed. Now, Scripture commands us to save. Scripture commands us to be responsible with our finances. I'm trying to get all this. My wife is in the Dave Ramsey coaching class. She's becoming a certified consultant for him. I got to get all the points down. You had a picture of Dave Ramsey up in the back. I got to make sure I get all these points in. But Scripture teaches us how to use our money wisely. And there are things that we do for family and whatever, but this is talking about just for gain. I want this for myself. And he says, don't lay up treasures for yourself. What, where? 619? On earth. Oh. Why? Because moth and rust doth corrupt. And where thieves break through and steal. Boy, isn't that the truth? Every time you save up stuff, what happens? Lost, stolen, broken, right? Where's the guy? He showed me a picture today of his safe. Was that you? Or a safe, not your safe, a safe that you saw. 8 by 8 by 12? How much did you say? I think they said he bought it. He just doesn't know how to tell his wife yet. Was that the picture of the receipt you showed me, or was that the picture of the device? What do we want to do with our stuff? In case you didn't see, it's this guy right here. What do we want to do with our stuff? We want to save it, to hoard it, keep it for ourselves. But what happens? Well, thieves break through and steal. Now, they're going to have a hard time hauling that safe off, but... but in cases of that, we've watched that happen where stuff gets damaged. Next verse. It's a similar verse. It now says, lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. Oh, there's the two locations to which I can give or place treasures. I can place treasures here on earth, and I can place treasures in heaven. If a treasure is something for which a man would spend money or pay a reward if it were found, then I have to wonder, all right, I know where to put treasures on earth, but But how on earth is somebody supposed to put treasures in heaven? I mean, where's the deposit window for that? If we're going to go to this guy's safe, will you rent us space out of there? I mean, you could live in this thing. You should see a picture of it. It's this garish color, yellow, but whatever. He said, if you buy it, they're going to paint it whatever color. Why do people buy safes? To store their stuff. Where do we put stuff for heaven? I mean, it's a fair question. It's the Word of God. It ought to be plain and simple. And a preacher's job, one of his jobs, is to give the sense of the Word of God. So I have two locations I can put stuff. One's on earth, one's in heaven. I know what stuff can be called that I call treasure, or Scripture calls treasure. Jesus referred to it as that, as we read it in our English Bibles. Treasures. He says that I can put them in heaven. Why? Because in heaven, the treasures of heaven won't have moths, won't have rust, and won't have thieves. Well, that's a beautiful thing to think about, to realize that not Beanie Babies and not whatever else you'd put in safes and vaults here. But when we put treasures in heaven, nothing goes wrong there. Why? No rust, no thieves, and no moths. This is intriguing to me as I think about it, because I have a choice. I have a choice where to put them. I have a choice what I'm going to treasure. But when I think about what are the things that could be treasured and placed in heaven, that becomes narrowly defined by Scripture. Because if you think about what are the only things that are going to be in heaven, then that's what I have to put my treasure. I have an idea. Do I have any siblings in the room, brother, sister? Do you have your sister in here? Is she here? Come here. What's your name? No one's ever died in an illustration that I know of. I'll sign a waiver of liability. Where's your sister? Over there. Come here, sister. Come up here. What's your name? Robert? Do I go with or Robert? How old are you?
11.
11. Come help me. I know right now there's great pain in your life. Pastor said you came here today with a felt need. You just discovered what your felt need was. Maybe we don't have a monitor going on, so I want to get over here. Where are you, Mom? Okay. Come here. Come here. Come here. Come here. Robert and what? Courtney. Would you two join hands for just a minute? Please, it would help me out a lot. It won't be long, I promise. I don't know if all of you can see this, but I've asked them to join hands and she's just touching him. I know Pastor said we had to turn our phones off, but if you wanted a picture of this, this may never happen again. I'm just going to wait a minute because Mom and Dad are trying to enjoy this. I want you, Courtney, I know you want to kill me right now, but just bear with me. I want you and your brother to illustrate something for me, okay? Now, my guess is there's just a little tension. But would you hold your brother's hand, please? You're already this far. You've touched him. The cooties are there. You can wash them off when you get home. Would you just join hands for just a minute? You are not going to die, Robert. Are you weeping, Mom? I understand. I want you to be treasure, and I want you to be heart. I'm going to read a verse. I'll be right back. Don't let go. 21. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. You are treasure, you are heart. Could you walk toward that palm tree right there? Okay, off you go. Look. Treasure, off you go. And look what happened. You're making this tough. Yes, there it is. It's husband practice for later, I'll guarantee you. What happened? Where treasure went, heart followed. You say, well, that's because... Can we get a better crowd here, please? By tonight, upgrade the audience. This is what you have to see Jesus was saying. I'm sure if Jesus illustrated, there'd be far more willing participants. I'll tell you what, I'll walk with you this time, treasure. Let's go to this palm tree. No, heart always follows, don't lead. Yes. And look what happens. Treasure is going, heart is following. Yeah, just join hands. You know what? Seeing it that way makes me want to make sure I'm treasuring the right stuff. Because I don't want my heart to end up in the wrong place. Because, and you've been awesome, treasure. Honestly, awesome. And I feel like I've taxed everything. And this should probably cost me something great. I don't know what it should cost me yet. But maybe don't publish the pictures more than 1,000 views on Facebook. Other than that, then take it down. When we think about what you kindly and respectfully illustrated for us is exactly where it is, because I'm going to stand behind you. If you tell me that you are not treasuring your spouse, your heart's not just in your marriage anymore, then I'm going to tell you you're treasuring someone else. My heart's just not in church anymore. Then you're treasuring something else. Because heart always follows treasure. If you tell me, oh, my heart's just not in Bible translation work anymore, then you're treasuring something else. If you tell me your heart's just not in missions anymore, then what you're telling me is you found something else to treasure. Because Jesus said it. No higher authority than Jesus said, treasure leads heart. Off you go. You don't have to sit together. Mom, you're welcome. Truly, you're welcome. Robert, you can wash your hands later. Courtney, you are a gift from God to me today. Thank you. Not sure what this should cost me, but it should cost me something. So I come back to my question. What are the treasures that make it to heaven because I want my heart in the right place? If my heart is following treasure, then I better treasure what God treasures so my heart is always in the right place. What does He treasure? I only have 19 points. It won't take us long. I'll get you out before the Waffle House closes. Go to Matthew 16. Some of you are saying, when is the Waffle House closed? They don't. You'll be fine. Matthew 16. I'm headed to verse 26. Matthew 16. Robert's going to need oxygen. Courtney's going to need an ambulance. The hazmat crew will meet you out front. They can spray you down. Verse 26, I'm after, what are the treasures that I can store in heaven? Verse 26, for what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world. Well, that'd be quite an acquisition, wouldn't it? To own everything on earth? But there's no profit in it? Well, we have to finish the verse. For what is a man profit if he shall gain the whole world and lose, what's the last words there? Lose his own soul. I'm after what is a treasure. A treasure that I can lay up in heaven. Well, number one, it has to be a soul. Because why? Notice the next verse. Or the last part of the verse. What does a man profit if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Can I buy a place in heaven? No. That only comes by one purchase anyway. What Christ did. Amen. So if there's only one way to go to heaven, the most valuable thing on this earth must be the soul of man, because there is nothing a man can give for the worth or an exchange of his soul. There's nothing. What's a treasure that I can lay up in heaven where moth and rust doth not corrupt and thieves do not break through and steal? What is a treasure? The soul of man. What will be present in heaven? Souls. So if my treasure is souls, then my heart will be attached to the treasure of a man's soul. Let me show you another. Go with me, if you would, please, to Ephesians chapter 5. Now, Ephesians, you're just going to have to go past the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts. You say, why you tell us this? Two reasons. One, there may be someone here who's not familiar with turning pages in the Bible. And two, I need the reminder of where it is. Go with me to Acts, then 1st and 2nd Corinthians, Romans, 1st and 2nd Corinthians. I skipped one, sorry. And then go to the book of Ephesians chapter 5, and we enter a section of Scripture where there is counsel and advice given to husbands and wives. Now, if we were doing Ephesians chapter 5, and we're going to get to verse number 22 is where the section starts. If we were in marriage counseling right now, I would preface the reading of this section of Scripture to remind you there are some verses in marriage that are just girl verses. There are other verses in marriage that are boy verses. Do not become an expert in the other gender's verses. Because if you come to me and say, she's not doing this, I'm going to say, is that a boy verse or a girl verse? Because if it's a girl verse, she focuses on that. You have enough boy verses. The first verse is a girl verse, 22. 23 is an example of that. 24 is an example of that. 25 starts a boy verse. In the boy verse is an example. I'm after the example. But I wanted to make sure you understood the difference just in case you were quoting verses about what your spouse was supposed to be doing. I hereby give you permission to remind them and yourself you have your own verses, buddy, to study. 25. Husbands, love your wives. No, it doesn't get any simpler than that. Now, Pastor said, if you don't do the amen thing loud enough and proper enough, that you have to stay after. Husbands, love your wives. That's simple, guys. Yeah, more women said amen than men. Even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. What is it that would be a treasure that I could invest in that would lay up treasures in heaven where moth and rust and thieves do not exist? Well, it has to be the church. Why? The definition of a treasure that I'm using this morning is the definition that says something that I would pay for to get right? The soul of man you can't buy. That's a treasure. The church is a treasure. How do I know? He loved us and gave himself for us. What's a treasure? Church. I wonder, with all who claim to be churches today, is he getting what he paid for? And that's just a point to ponder. Investing in church, spending in church, is laying up treasures in heaven. Number three, go back to Matthew 6 where we started in the first section on hypocrisy. Matthew chapter 6. So that's back to the beginning of the New Testament. Matthew chapter 6, verse number 1. So we've established two things. One, God treasures souls. And if I attach my heart to what he treasures, I will treasure souls. And my heart will be in it. I ought to treasure church, because if I treasure the church, my heart will be in church. Number three. Take heed, it means watch out, verse 1. That you do not your alms, what are alms? It's a gift, an offering for someone. That you do not your alms before men. Oh, that's that showcase part of being a hypocrite. Putting on the face to let everybody see this. Don't perform with your giving. To be seen of them. Otherwise, watch the words now, you have no reward. Remember, what is treasure? Something for which I would spend money, or something for which I would pay a reward if it was found. And he says in this verse, take heed that you do not your alms before men to be seen of them, otherwise you have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Therefore, when thou doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the streets, that they may have their glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. Can you see that? John is giving. See, for real people that did it in the streets. Say, that would never happen in church. Come back a second day. There's pride attached to offerings all the time. We say we give to Jesus and then we put our names on it. Don't do this to be seen of man. Why? You'll get your reward right here on earth. Continue on, verse 3. But when thou doest thine alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth. That thine alms may be in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret himself shall reward thee openly. God treasures sincere giving. Ninja skill giving. Left hand doesn't know what the right hand is doing. You say, well, Brother O'Malley, that's almost impossible. That's the level of giving God wants out of us. What happens when he sees that level of giving? He rewards that. What does God treasure? Souls, church, sincere giving. Let me give you the last one. If you want to turn there, you'll probably be able to quote the verse, Hebrews 11, if you're writing notes down to Hebrews 11, verse number 6. The Bible reads, but without faith, it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. What is it that will be in heaven where I can attach my heart to the things God treasures? It is the souls of men, it is his church, it is sincere giving, and it is faith. Now, some of you are very smart, and you just put all that together. That's everything to do with our missions offering. Our faith promises are all of those points. When I give my faith promise commitment at my church, and you give your faith promise commitment at this church, you're saying my heart is attached to the treasures of God. Souls, the church, sincere giving, and faith. I say to you this day, in closing, I only use those words as a concept. In closing. If your heart isn't in missions anymore, it's because you're treasuring the wrong stuff. Would you stand with me? Heads bowed and eyes closed. Look deep within right now in your own heart. Our hearts are so naughty. We're thinking of 7 people that ought to have heard this message this morning. But look inside your own heart. Is your heart treasuring the right things? Is your heart in the evangelistic outreach of this church? Is your heart in this church? Is your heart attached to sincere giving? Is your heart attached to faith? God rewards faith. He rewards sincere giving. He paid a high price for the church and the highest price of all for the soul of man. And as Courtney led Robert around earlier and she demonstrated to us, this is the importance of why we must treasure the right things to lay up in heaven. Is your heart in the right place today? Dear Father, this morning, from my heart, I tried to share what you laid on my heart to share. Please take your word. Put it deep in the hearts of these. Father, if somebody is here today and they haven't heard a thing since that guy sang a little bit ago about you giving us righteousness for sin, may this be the day that they come to know you as Savior. For this I pray in Jesus' name. As the music begins, or as pastor's coming.
What a great message for Christians, but also for folks that don't know the Lord. There's nothing more valuable in this world than your soul. We work very hard to provide for the body and then even to preserve our physical life, but for every one of us, should the Lord tarry his coming, we will one day meet with death. The Bible says it is appointed to man once to die, and after that, the judgment. So this morning you're here, you'd say, Pastor, I'm not certain if I died today where I would go. I don't know about my relationship with the Lord. The most important decision you can ever make is to have a relationship with him. Not to be a Baptist or not to join a particular church or denomination, but to know the Lord, because that's what it's all about. That's the reality, knowing the Lord Jesus personally. Maybe this morning you'd say, Pastor, I'm not sure about that. I don't know. I have questions in my heart. Maybe the Lord is speaking to you about that matter right now. We're going to sing a hymn of invitation. It's during the invitation hymn that we invite you to make your way to the front. If you're in a middle aisle or somewhere, folks will get out of your way. They'll be happy to move out of the pew for you. If you want to know for sure that you're going to heaven, that you know Christ as your Savior, our pastors have come to the front. They'll greet you. They'll take you somewhere private and quiet in just a few minutes, show you from the Bible how to become a Christian. We're not talking about joining the church or anything like that. Nothing, no commitment to us, none whatsoever. But we want you to know the Lord, because that's the most important thing for you to genuinely